First of all, the visit to Asia is to reassure some of Trump's allies that he is going on backing them against perceived threats. Trump warned North Korea yesterday that, quote-unquote, the time for strategic patience with Pyongyang is over, calling the country a threat to the civilized world and international peace and stability. Ian Leary is a Japanologist at Oxford University, and he says this was probably music to the ears of the Japanese Prime Minister.
Japan feels itself to be threatened by North Korea and needs as many allies as it can, and thinks that the most important ally that it can get on its side is Donald Trump and the United States. Well, I think it was very symbolic that he chose to arrive in the Yokota base, the United States base close to Tokyo, rather than arriving in Tokyo Airport itself, because that is, I think, symbolically indicates that he is committing the American military presence in Japan to defending Japan against North Korea. And although he didn't mention North Korea in his speech, it was clearly directed towards North Korea.
Today, Trump arrives in South Korea, another of the U.S.'s allies in the region. What can we expect from this stopover? Well, the U.S. has some of its largest overseas military bases in both Japan and South Korea. They simply didn't leave after the Second World War and after the Korea War that lasted from 1950 to 1953. And technically, the U.S. and North Korea are still in a state of war. But the current government of President Moon Jae-in seems to be more conciliatory towards the North. Remco Breuker, a Korea specialist from Leiden University, says Trump and Moon don't see eye to eye on many things, and Trump will have to bridge that.
How to deal with North Korea and the fundamental nature of the North Korean regime. In South Korea and Seoul, the government at the moment knows that it has to be strict with North Korea, but they'd rather not be strict, and they see possibilities to talk and to engage, and through engagement reach a much better situation than where we are now. I don't think Trump will agree with any of this.
So we are going to have to wait and see what Trump will do to achieve this. But meanwhile, how is the public opinion in South Korea regarding Trump? Well, on the one hand, people like the massive U.S. military presence as a buffer against the North, but others think this is blatant interference in their internal affairs. After Korea, Trump will visit China. He already met with Xi Jinping, China's president, in Mar-a-Lago in April. That visit seemed to have gone well, but how have things changed since then? Well, China just published its trade figures with the U.S., a massive $250 billion U.S. dollar deficit for Washington in 2016 alone. That's something Trump really does not like. And he's also been protesting strongly against China's claims in the South China Sea. Professor Shi Yin Hung of the People's University in Beijing says that Chinese public opinion regarding Trump has shifted as well.
The significance of the summit between Washington and Beijing has been somewhat overestimated immediately after the summit. But several months later, after the summit, and people will return to a more realistic estimation and assessment. Trump is unreliable, volatile. And some of them realized more and more that he's Machiavelli.
For sure, Xi Jinping, China's president, has consolidated his own power after the latest party congress in October. And so it's not sure at all that Trump will achieve anything in terms of trade concessions. After China, he will continue to tour Asia, calling on Vietnam, where he will attend the APEC meeting. And possibly for the first time, will be able to meet with Russia's President Vladimir Putin. And he will end his visit in the Philippines.